Good evening. It's my pleasure and my joy to welcome you to the house of the Lord. It's been a blessed day. We got this morning to listen to our brother Justin and his message and get to come together, even though there's a few of us tonight. The power and presence of the Spirit of the Lord is always in this chapel. And we always have an opportunity to come together when we're here and feel His presence and know of His great love for us. I think most of you know the men that are on the rostrum this morning, this evening. It is evening. Brother Denny Seymour, who will be bringing the invocation, Harold Sharkey will be bringing the benediction, and of course, Mark will bring the message. You heard the scripture that I picked out. You heard it this morning. You might even hear it again when Brother Mark starts. But I have read this third chapter of 2 Nephi a number of times this last week. And, I haven't had anybody try to, that I know of, who wanted to take my life, or I haven't had had to cross the ocean, but I have crossed the U.S. This, when I read this third chapter, the first time I read it, I've read it many times, but the first time I read it this last week, I actually brought tears to my eyes. Because even though I haven't had those things happen, I've had a lot of things, and a lot of times depression and anxiety and those kind of things, and wonder, you know, Lord, what's happening? Then I thought, you know, how much I've been blessed. And how the Lord has taken care of me in times of my depression and my loneliness and helplessness and all those things that goes along with the depression and that kind of stuff. And when you stop and think about it, you know, I'm a blessed man. And it's an honor for me to come with you, to come to be with you tonight. So I want to read you out of that third chapter of 2 Nephi, beginning with the 61st verse. O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to those that ask us. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock, and my everlasting God. Let us continue our worship tonight with hymn number 11. We'll stand and sing that while Brother Denny brings the invocation.
Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this evening. Once again, Heavenly Father, giving thanks to you for this opportunity that we have to come to your house of worship. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with each one that is present this night, that their minds might be open to that which my brother Mark would bring to them, and that you might open his mouth, Heavenly Father, and give him clear thought for the things which he has prepared for us to hear. So I would ask, Lord, that you'd be with us, grant us your spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning, while I was sitting at the organ, I started to smile when Justin started to read the scripture. It was all orchestrated by the Lord, because it's the very same scripture he read this morning, and it's actually in the chapter that is intended for tonight, and that I did not plan, it just happened. So I'm going to be reading from the book of 2 Nephi, chapter 3, verse 29 till the end of the chapter, verse 66. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am! Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of man hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken, because of mine iniquities, afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plan ahead, plain road. O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? But that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and my everlasting God. Amen. It's been about a year ago. I believe the Lord inspired me to ask him the question, "Teach me how not to sin." And so After praying that, the Lord began to open up some ideas in my head. Now, I have mentioned Gilbert and Sullivan in the past. They were composers that wrote comic opera, which were pretty much the predecessors of Gilbert, of Rodgers and Hammerstein. But they were just as popular, if not more so. Anyway, one of their more popular operas is called Pirates of Penzance. And it was interesting. I'm very familiar with this one, having listened to it quite a bit. And he made my mind concentrate on this one little phrase. It says, "Perhaps it would be wise not to carp or criticize." Now, carp is a rather old word. So I looked it up. Carp means to find fault or complain. And the definition of criticize is to find fault with, point out the faults. So I had an interesting experience not too long ago. I have all of the restoration scriptures on audio cassette that I like to listen to. I like to put them on CD and listen to them that way. I find I get more out of it if I listen to it rather than if I read it. So a few years back, I was able to download from the Mormon website the entire Book of Mormon from them. And I went through there and I cut out all of the, you know, the little phrases describing what was going to happen in the chapter. So it just reads just like a book. And we listen to that in the car oftentimes. And I also got the Book of Mormon read by Harold Whitehead, which was done by the church. So I don't know if there's much difference between the two. But anyway, the Book of Mormon one, he is really good. When the scriptures are talking about something exciting, he gets all excited and he talks excitedly. And then when it's soft and gloomy, he will talk that same way. And Harold Whitehead didn't really do that. And I was kind of, I guess I was complaining to the Lord. I said, "Boy, I wish Harold White had done as good a job as that Mormon guy did." And the Lord stopped me and he said, "Are you grateful for having the Harold Whitehead recordings?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Cease to complain about them." So I'd like to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 119, 9a. This talks about complaining. "Be clean, be frugal. Cease to complain of pain and sickness and distress of body. Take sleep in the hours set apart by God for the rebuilding and strengthening of the body and mind." One of my favorite movies is a movie made by Disney from 1960 called Pollyanna. It was the first movie in which Hayley Mills starred for Disney. But it's an excellent story. I might kind of give away part of the plot. She kind of changes the views of everybody in the whole town. And she helps the pastor of the town to look for the good in people. And so I've learned that when you look for the good, you will unfortunately find some faults. And if you look for the faults, you will find some strengths. So you kind of get both, no matter which way you look at it. So I have some ideas about how not to criticize. My father taught me, he didn't intend to teach me this, but he taught me to look for the faults. For example, I imagine a large white tablecloth. Imagine one little teeny tiny speck on it. And somehow, the way my dad taught me, I would dwell on that little tiny speck. I know that's not what he intended. I didn't want to do that. I try not to do that. And I have a problem when I play the organ and the piano. I make mistakes. And this morning I made some doozies. Anyway, I asked the Lord about that. I was very much concerned, like a couple of years ago when I first started playing the organ here. And the Lord said, "Don't consider the notes you missed. Consider the notes you got right. They far outweigh the ones you got wrong." And that caused me to wonder about what exactly is criticism. Like, for example, if someone asks you, did you like this book that you read? If you say no, are you criticizing it? What if you say, this other book was better? Is that criticizing the book? I'm not entirely sure. It's very difficult not to criticize. One thing that I've asked the Lord to do, and He's been blessing me with this, before I would say something out loud that would be complaining or criticizing, I asked Him to please stop me and not let me say it. And He's done a really good job of that, but unfortunately, sometimes I still slip. Another thing that He taught me is don't give in to temptation. For example, I struggled so with the devil trying to conquer me and trying to discourage me and everything. But the Lord helped me realize that I know when it's Satan speaking to me. I know it because of the past, and he somehow affects my desires and makes what he pins into my head desirable. But now that I know that's from the devil, I do not want to do it. I do not want to do anything that the devil wants me to do, no matter how tempting it may be, no matter how much fun it would sound like. I do not want to give in to it. So I rebuke the devil, and if I know from the devil that it's from him, that I do not want to do it. I'd like to read a scripture from 2 Nephi chapter 3. Oh, no, sorry, that was my scripture reading. No, I already read it. So, but see, that talks about temptation and talks a little bit about anger, which I'll get into in a minute. So, after learning these things, I asked the Lord, teach me more how not to sin. And he told me, when you master the other things, I will give you more. Another problem that I have that I think most everyone has a problem with is with anger. Anger is very difficult to deal with. One time, Dalvin and I saw a class being advertised that was open to the general public about how to deal with anger. And we went to that class, and it was packed. Turns out that it was really for parents who want to help to control their children when they get angry. So that was kind of funny. Mostly what I really want is to get rid of the anger. Once I discover that there's anger in me, and the Lord has taught me to pray, please remove mine anger. And it works. He will answer that prayer. One time, about a year or so ago, we sat behind a family that had two boys, and we were right behind them, and I saw them. They were kind of passing a toy back and forth amongst themselves. And when one of them got it and the other one still wanted to keep it, he got very upset. He started to cry and I noticed that it wasn't so much sadness in him, but it was anger. He was angry because he did not get to keep the toy. And so his mom took him out, and I suppose she had a nice little talk with him. But that has always stayed with me. Okay, so another thing of how not to sin is don't judge. So I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. It says, judge not unrighteously, that ye be not judged, but judge righteous judgment. For with what judgment ye shall judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I have a problem with judging people. In my head, I'll see somebody doing something wrong, and I'll think, what's the matter with them? They're bad people. I'm trying not to think that way anymore. We have two dogs now. When we had just the one, I would walk her every day around the big block around by our house. And there was a man and his dog that I would always encounter. His dog was name was Rufus. And the man was a man of the world, you know. And one day when I passed by him, he was obviously very drunk or very high on drugs. And instead of looking at him saying, what a terrible person he is, I found that I had compassion on him, that I felt sorry for him, to see him look that way and act that way when so many times I saw him when he was not acting that way. One of the things I used to always do before we became parents, I used to judge other parents. They have an unruly kid. I said to myself, boy, parents sure don't know how to treat their children. But once we adopted Paul, that all changed. I found out that, well, you can't always control them. Okay, I'd like to read a scripture from the Doctrine and Covenants. Section 17, 11a and b. This is all about the duties of the teacher. The teacher's duty is to watch over the church always and be with and strengthen them and see that there is no iniquity in the church, neither hardness with each other, neither lying, backbiting, nor evil speaking. And see that the church meet together often and also see that all the members do their duty. I have come to the conclusion recently that when it says that the church meet together often, I think that's referring to the people. It's my duty as a teacher to see that the people attend church regularly. So there have been some that I've been reaching out and saying, I would encourage you to come to prayer service this Wednesday night. I don't know if it has worked. There are a couple times that they have come. But anyway, there was a friend where we used to attend church. I remember he shared a testimony that he was a non-member. He was converted. But he had a friend that was a member of the church. And every Sunday he would invite him to church. Every single Sunday, week after week, month after month, he would invite him. And one time he decided he'd go ahead and go. And as a result, he was converted. So that is what I try to do when I encourage people to come to the evening services. Now, that is basically the end of my sermon. However, because I am in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'd like to say a little bit about each. A few weeks ago, when I gave the offertory, I asked you if you could count your greatest blessings. I have figured out my greatest blessings. My greatest blessing of all is that I was given the fullness of the gospel in the restored church. My second greatest blessing is my family. Third would be my friends, which is all of you. And then fourth would be, oh, like the vehicles that get us to and from church and various other things in the house. And I've had many experiences. Oftentimes I will ask the Lord for the same thing, oh, several times a day. And when he gives it to me, I thank him. I thank him over and over and over again. And there have been two instances in which he told me he likes to bless me because I thank him so much. And now about Christmas. Jesus is the reason for this life. I think it's fascinating to see the entire story, to know about the fall of Lucifer, the plan of redemption, and this life being a probationary state. In the Old Testament, I find it fascinating that animals were sacrificed before the Lord. And they all had to be perfect, completely spotless. And that's exactly like Jesus would be, completely perfect and spotless. One thing I've also liked too is in the story of Moses and the Passover, how they put blood, lamb's blood, which was significant because Jesus was the Lamb of God. And they put it on the side post and upon the upper doorpost. That way the destroying angel would leave them alone. So it all, the whole story of Jesus, basically started when he was born. Thank you.
We'll close with the use of hymn number 343.
Gracious Almighty God, we come at the close of this hour and this day, thanking you for this opportunity once again to come and hear thy word and to hear the messages that we have listened to today that brought us guidance and direction and challenged us even in our way of life. Father, we would ask now that we would have more humility when we consider the actions of others, though they might not agree with the way we think always and feel, that we would be willing to accept those things that are beyond our ability to change, but pray for your guidance to them, that they would be willing to offer a change in their own life that would be acceptable. Thank you for this opportunity again to gather this night. And we pray that you would be with us as we get leave for our homes and depart, that you will keep us safe once again until we return here in this sacred place. We ask these blessings now in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.